Let us now turn into God's Word to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, we'll read the first four verses. If you are following along in your provided Bibles, you can find that on page 1001. This is the sermon that I prepared for my examination, so I thought maybe it'd be good for you guys to hear it as well. Let us now hear God's holy word. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So far our reading in God's holy word. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. My name is Ishmael. Once upon a time. The opening line of books, beloved people of God, is very important. It sets a stage, a tone to the entire following of the book or the plot. It draws a person in as they think about what is to follow. Why does it start this way? What's the purpose? The reason? What's going to follow? It's a taste of what's to come. Even in the Bible, the opening statements of a letter or a book are important. We've been going through Timothy. Think about those words that are spoken in the very beginning. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior and of Jesus Christ, who is our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. The stage is set for us to read a very personal letter to someone Paul calls a true child in the faith. We are reading a very intimate letter between a mentor and someone who is being taught. It sets a tone for this letter. Not one of rebuke as in Galatians, but as an intimate word. Here Hebrews starts off with a comparison. And throughout the book of Hebrews, there will be comparisons. Comparisons of the old and the last days. And that is how Hebrews wants to start. The author to the Hebrews starts off informing us of this great comparison that he is going to expound on over and over and over again. It starts off by comparing that world of the past and how it applies to this present day. The author starts off by comparing this old age and the old agents and this ancestral audience with the last age, the last agent, and the current audience. The author uses these comparisons in the first four verses to tell us God speaks finally and completely to us through His Son. That is our theme this morning. God speaks finally and completely to us through His Son. And He uses those comparisons to bring this out. First of all, He compares the ages. Long ago versus the last days. Secondly, He compares the agents. Those many prophets versus the one Son. And finally, He compares the audience. The forefathers versus us. Thus, we have the age, the agent, and the audience. So this author starts off his letter by drawing us into the past age. He says, God spoke long ago at many times. The era before with those ancient people, God gave His revelation at many times. These sections and pieces of revelation came to the people sporadic and spread throughout. In fact, before these last days, there was somewhere about 450 years before there was any new revelation about God and who He was and what He was doing. They truly had God's Word, but it was sporadic, disconnected, spread throughout various times and various periods. It was not all brought together in one time. And often this revelation included pointing forward to a future day, a very important last days. The phrase, in those days and in the last days, are spread throughout the Old Testament, and they pointed to a time in which there would be a great change. It would be completely different from this old days. A time when God would send His Messiah and with Him His kingdom. The old age at various times pointed forward to that last day. Numbers 24 talks about this last day, saying that a king shall arise from Jacob that will conquer the enemies of Israel. And in Daniel 2, there is a stone that's not cut by human hands. It crushes all these kingdoms that are set up in the world. This huge statue. And it establishes this kingdom of heaven and it fills the whole earth and stands forever. Jeremiah 31 talks of the coming days when a new covenant is established. Where the law will not be written on stones, but written on the hearts of the people. Sins will be forgiven, and they will all know God. Jesus knew when He came, He brought and ushered in these last days. With His shed blood, He brings the new covenant, as He tells His disciples in the institution of the Lord's Supper. He tells the Pharisees, as they see Him cast out demons, that if He can do this, then the kingdom of God is among you. It is there. He is the son of Jacob from the line of David and the king who sits at the right hand of God. He is enthroned on high and brings the last day. The Old Testament speech of God was to prepare the people for this last day. These last days where God would speak to them. That they would recognize the final acts of redemption. God spoke to them through His Son, who would usher in these last days. This is a time in which were the final words were spoken. The final revelation had come. A time for new revelation ended. People of God, we still have people trying to add to the message of the gospel. But it is the last days. When I was in Trinidad, a woman came up to me and she told me that she had received this great vision. It would tell of these great new mysteries about God. And she wrote it all down. Now, of course, she wanted to sell it to me for a cost. But looking back, I wish I would have spoken to her and said, there is no need for any further revelation. This is a time in which God has already spoken through His Son completely and finally. The old age has ended. There is no longer any need for new revelation. We have the final and complete revelation in the Son. And that's the next comparison that the author gives. The difference between agents. For in the Old Testament, He spoke by many prophets, but in the last days He speaks by His Son. In that past age, the agents that God used was the prophets. And as we read in Deuteronomy, they needed prophets because they could not stand the voice of the Lord. When they heard the voice of the Lord, they shook in fear. They wanted to die because they experienced the holiness and righteousness of God. They felt their sin. They understood who God was. And so there were men that were sent from among them that carried God's word. They served at certain times and important times of the life of God's people. But they died. They also received and gave the message of God in many different ways. Think about Moses, whom the Jews considered one of the greatest prophets. He spoke to them, to God face to face, and then delivered the word. Others such as Isaiah and Ezekiel did receive those dreams or those visions. Isaiah wrote these visions down and spoke them to the people. But Ezekiel was told to act out much of what he was told. And Elisha and Elijah conveyed the word of God with great miracles of grace and of judgment. Each prophet had their gifts, their own message, which was for a certain time and for a certain people that pointed to who God was and what He was doing among His people. Moses' focus was on that law of God, Samuel establishing the kingdom of Israel, Elijah and Elisha calling people to repentance and faith. These words were spread throughout. At different times, with different gifts, with different people. But prophets weren't the only ones who delivered God's word. Also the kings received the law of God and were to rule by God's word. They were to meditate on it day and night and govern the people by God's word, therefore giving it to them. But each one of these kings failed and could never do it perfectly. Same with the priests. They showed God's message of grace and their need for cleansing. But their sacrifices were never sufficient. Each and every one of them died. Each agent had their separate task and different elements of God's complete message of grace. Now, children, to understand this, have you ever sat and cooked with mom? Maybe she was baking a cake. Maybe as she was measuring out some of the flour, some of it spilled onto the counter. And you licked it up and tried it. It was pretty bland. Not much to speak of. So you're wondering, what is this cake that she's making? Maybe it's really going to be quite boring. She gets out the salt. It makes you really thirsty. The sugar, oh, that's pretty good. That's sweet. That cocoa, though, it's bitter. It's gross. I wouldn't want to eat that. So when you eat each and every one of these elements of the cake at different times and in different flavors, you don't get the complete understanding of the cake. It's not until all those elements, all those pieces are brought together and baked, and then you try that cake, and the cake is actually really quite delicious. It would be really, really hard to figure out what that cake tasted like without all of it being brought together. This is much what the Old Testament was like. Different messages that contributed to the great message. The one message which pointed to the one Son at one time, who was the complete fulfillment of all those messages. They are found in that one Son, Jesus Christ. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." All previous words from God come together in this Son, Christ Jesus. Christ doesn't give us God's Word in part, but completely and fully and finally in the last days. And our author wants to stress this to us. He wants to point out that He is the best and complete mediator. And so he gives these seven descriptions of the Son. Seven descriptions that expand our understanding of who He is, that we are enthralled to listen to Him and no other person. Why would we want to listen to any other word than from this one person who has the complete revelation of God? And in these seven descriptions, we can see that He is an authoritative King, an exact revealer as prophet, and a completely sufficient high priest. He says about His authority that God placed Him as heir of all things. God gives Him that name above all else, even above the angels. He inherits this. He's given it by the Father. But the world was even made through Him. He was part of that creative process of the Father. And even Colossians 1:16 says, "All things were made through Him and for Him." It also says that He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He's seated there at that authoritative position. Kings sat on their throne and ruled on high. And Jesus Christ sits next to the greatest King. And Christ serves as His King, or as the King over all. But not only is He King and authoritative in this rule, but His very Word is authoritative. Our text tells us He upholds all things by the word of His power. It's a mixture of authority and revelation. He carries is the literal word. It's not simply just struggling to uphold the world as Atlas did. But He actually carries it by His word, bringing it to its completion, all the way to the final days, bringing the last days to the final days where all sin will be destroyed. It takes effect because He is the authoritative king. The next descriptions we would put under that exact revealer of God. For it says that He is the radiance of the glory of God. Maybe if you have another version, it would might say the reflection. But this is not the word that we would use to describe Him. Because the following words also describe that He is the very nature of God. He has inherent within Him that same glory as the Father. And it goes on to say that He is the exact imprint or representation of God's nature. This is a word that was used to talk about imprinting coins, to show that they were authoritative. They were useful for purchasing. They had that exact image and they were the same. They were distinct. Now we must not draw this illustration too far. Because there are two coins with the same nature, just as you and I are the same nature of human beings. But God also, the Son with the Father, also shares their being. They are one. They are God. As individual, as distinct but one. And so both these descriptions tell us that when we look to the Son, we are gazing upon God. And we hear the words of Jesus. And when we hear the words of Jesus, we are hearing the very words of God. And He can say in John 14, "Whoever has seen Me has seen the Father." But that final description describes Him as that sufficient and complete high priest. That when He made purification for sins, He sat down. The word there emphasizes that what He has done has effect into the future. It's complete, it's done, but it has lasting effect in our lives. It continues to work. He is the one who is sufficient for washing away all our sins. He is the satisfaction of God's wrath. And this leads the Son to sit down. He sits down in the presence of God where the angels continue to worship. But Christ sits in His presence. And so the author of this letter wants to emphasize the Son's voice. And not His own. He compares those agents of old, the many prophets, with the Son. In the author's description, we should see, as one commentator puts it, in Jesus there is the perfect visible expression of the reality of God. In Him, people see in human form the love, mercy, justice, holiness and goodness of God. Jesus Christ is God in focus. He has spoken completely and finally in Jesus Christ, His Son. This brings us to the final comparison in our text, where the writer of Hebrews compares the audience. The author says that those ancient ancestors, those forefathers, those people from the Old Testament certainly received the message of God. It's not to be discarded. We ought to use it and look at it. But from our angle, where there is the fulfillment in Jesus Christ, the final and complete agent. And so our text also says, though, that He spoke to us, His Son, through His Son. Who is this author writing to? They are a people, right? This is a letter to a specific church. What application does it have to us? He's speaking to them, right? Way in the back, still in ages gone by. Well, let's look at the information that we can glean from this audience, because we don't have, with the other letters, spoken to Timothy or to this church or that church. But we can see, if you look at chapter 2, verse 3, we get this information about the audience where he says that the message was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. The author and the audience both received this message of salvation in Jesus Christ from those who heard. They did not meet Jesus and speak with Him directly. They received this from the authoritative testimony of the apostles, just as we do. We have the word from these apostles, inspired by the Holy Spirit. The audience to whom the author is writing is in no different position than us. They too were situated in the last days, receiving the revelation from the apostles who witnessed the teaching, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The same testimony that these people received, we also received in the written word of God. And it says that Jesus speaks to us. To us. What an amazing thing that Christ speaks to us through these words, or God speaks to us through the words about His Son. The Son of God reveals to you God's will and His way of salvation through Jesus Christ, His Son. This is why it is a complete and final word. There is no better agent. It is great to come and hear God speak to us through the words of Jesus Christ written in His Word. And that is why it is fitting for me to bring this message to you on my final words. Because they are not my words. They are words about a Son. A Son who is able to sympathize with our weakness. A Son who resisted temptation to the point of shedding blood for our sakes that we might be purified. The Son who is the greater Joshua because He promises to bring us into eternal rest. For the Son has given us a far better and complete word. Listen to Him as He is proclaimed from His word from this pulpit week after week. We should not look to any other source for understanding the truth of our salvation. People of God, we have the best spokesman of God's Word in Christ Jesus, the Son of God. So listen carefully to Him as He is preached and proclaimed through the written testimony of those who witnessed the Son. Amen. Let us pray. We thank You, Lord, the God of Israel, that You have spoken to us through Your Son. Help us to remember to listen carefully when Your Word is preached and taught and read that we might hear with ears of faith, that we might trust in You as the complete and final revelation of God, of You. Help us in this task through Your Holy Spirit. This we ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen.